Blog Talk Radio.
We don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. Just one word from the Lord will move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Thy wisdom and thy understanding. Though we lack the very love you show in the sun. Lord, we walk to the end of thy ways, and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord. Speak, Lord. We'll move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give a peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Speak. We need a word from the Lord, a word from the Lord, just one word from the Lord.
Good Sunday afternoon. Welcome to Seeing Clearly in Dark Times. This is your program host, Brenda K. Sanders. Of course, I'm always, always glad to be back with you on every Sunday afternoon. And I'm sorry a little late today, but I tell you, it's been one of those days. And so I have pressed through to make sure that I broadcast today. Here on Seeing Clearly in Dark Times. I always say this is a motivational outreach program. And every time I speak to you, with a mind and, of course, with my spirit to encourage, to uplift you, to exhort you, to kind of promote the things of God into your spirit, and into your heart and into your mind, so that you will continue to walk with the Lord in your spiritual walk. I often say that I had someone do that for me when I first started walking in the things of God, and when I first turned my life over to the Lord. And I actually had, you know, we always talk about mentors and coaches, and, you know, that's the New Age way to say it. A believer with authority, a believer that stood on God's principles, was the person that actually introduced me to the Lord and guided me through until I could, you know, kind of stand on my own feet and believe God, because that's when Satan, our enemy, comes to attack us, when we are believing God and when we first come into the things of God and the kingdom of God. And I know that's what happened to me. That's what happened to me. And the enemy will cause us to think that God's word is not true, that it is not authentic, that it is a fairy tale, but that's not the case. For instance, I'd like to just briefly tell you when I sought for the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I know people think, oh, that's a joke, that's a joke, that's something people make up. I came from a world, a climate, where even though I was in the church, no one believed that that was true. No one had ever done it in my family, and no one knew about what it was about. But when I did seek out, just as the Bible had said, about being filled with the Holy Ghost, it took 6 months. It took 6 months. And during those 6 months, that's when the enemy tried to attack me and tried to attack me and make me think it was not real. And there were those that actually coached me and mentored me until I received the actual infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And, you know, I've told the story not a lot here on this program, but I've never told how when I did receive the Holy Ghost, and in fact, the anniversary of that is coming up next month, April 29th, 1988. I was in my bedroom on a Friday afternoon. I had come in from work, and I had intentioned to pray three times a day back in those days. I need to get back to that, by the way. And sat on my bed, maybe, you know, just to sit down to pray like I'd been doing three times a day, and instantly began to speak in other tongues. Can you believe that? Now, I didn't practice it. No one told me how to do it. They were trying to tell me how to do it over the 6 months, but it never worked. And so I abandoned those practices, because all we have to have is faith to believe in what God has said. And I just began to praise God. I put some praise music on, and I began to praise God. And instantly began to flow in speaking in other tongues. Now, if you've never heard it, it is, the Word of God declares it is a sign to the person that is an unbeliever. And you will know that is a supernatural transition has taken place, and God have filled your spirit with his spirit. And I spoke in tongues. Let me tell you, that was about 5 o'clock on Friday evening. I spoke in tongues for almost a whole 24 hours, all night long. And then I said, well, I know what I'll do. I'll try to read my Bible. And I opened my Bible and began to read the Bible in other tongues. Now, don't tell me, I don't know what that was about. I'm still seeking out that knowledge about what that was about. And I began to sing in other tongues. This is in that first 24 hours of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Do I know it's real? Yes, I do. Do I know God is real? Yes. Do I know Jesus is Lord? Amen. Yes, he is. And so I stand here on every broadcast with the authority of a believer that's been saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, to talk to you about what God can do in your life, and especially in those times of darkness. That's why I've named the program Seeing Clearly in Dark Times, even though I'd like to change the name of the broadcast to Seeing Clearly in the Dark. Do I know what God has promised? Of course I do, because I've experienced it myself, and God is no respecter of
so I know that he will do the same for you. It seemed as though, and giving you a little bit of testimony here this afternoon, it seemed as though I could not move anywhere. This is a funny thing I wanted to tell you. I had to go to work that next day, which was a Saturday. It's kind of, you know, a special project I was working on. At that point, I was working with an attorney. And the attorney was a really older gentleman, really older. I mean, I'm over 70. And he was, I'm going to just say it, an alcoholic. And so he would mumble and jumble around and move around his office, but he needed help. I was a junior kind of a lawyer then and working with this attorney. And as we discussed what to do on a case that Saturday morning, I began, as I opened my mouth, I began to speak in other tongues. And he had never heard that before and screamed out, "What are you saying?" And I had to just sit silent. You know, God gives us some wisdom. I mean, we are in control of what God gives us. No, yes, we are. And so I had to sit down and be quiet. You know, I think I excused myself from a room. We were sitting in a conference room. And eventually, I gave him the information he was looking for and just kind of left. And continued the rest of the day speaking. God gave me that promise, and he fulfilled his word. And so what I want to say to you today, in an attempt to exhort and uplift you in your spirit, if you are facing dark trials, if you're in that season of travail today, is that God will bless you, and he will not cause you to fail. Amen. And his word is true. His word is true. It was true for me back then, and it's true right now. You know, and in fact, I'm still in the word. Let me, before I go to where I was last week in Psalm 37, I want to go to the same scripture for this program, which is 1 Corinthians 13:12. It says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known." God says that he's going to meet us, and we're going to know everything that he knows eventually. We're going to see clearly as he has seen us. And I don't know about you, but I really rely and rest on that promise daily. That is a promise. I pray that scripture daily, that God will cause us to see clearly. Once we can see, then we can obey. Amen. Once we can see, then we can obey. Then we can fulfill that which God has given us to do. And I really love seeing clearly. I prayed for many, many, many years. Because as a young believer, I could never hear. I would always hear people say, "The Lord told me, the Lord told me, and the Lord told me." I'm saying, you know, I don't hear anything. I don't hear anything. I'm just blank when I pray. And so I began to pray that I could hear clearly. In addition, I became acquainted with prophetic voices that I thought were authentic and that really had the word of the Lord in their mouth, and all of them began to tell me that you're going to be one that is going to see a lot of things. And, you know, I would go to prophetic conferences, and the same word would be repeated over and over and over. I remember I went to a conference in New York, stayed 8 days, and I heard the same thing over and over and over. And so I know that in seeing, God wants us to see and through that dark glass and see what he's talking about and see who he is and see what he has for you and his will for you and become acquainted with that seeing experience, because he will do it. I'm preaching on this broadcast all the time about seeing and getting through that dark glass. When it clears up, what do we have to do? Go to God. Continually commune with God, and He will clear it up. I know just even this week I had a situation. I was looking at something and seeking God on something. And I said, well, just show me, please. And at first, it was the most frustrating experience. And then when God showed me something, this very thing I was asking, how simple it was to obey God when I saw Him clearly. And so that is our challenge. That is our goal, is to see God clearly so we can obey and obey instantly. And when you want to see it clearly, God will show it clearly. You may have to wait a little bit because there's that maze, there's that enigma that I talk about every week that we have to go through as believers until God comes on the scene and then offers His truth about what a situation is really saying. And as I'm talking about that, I'm just thinking about the situation of Lazarus, you know, as he died. Yeah, it took 4 days for Jesus to arrive on the scene and raise him from the dead. And I'm thinking, what kind of dark glass was the family of Lazarus looking in during those 4 days? And I thought Jesus was going to do this. And I thought Jesus said He could raise the dead. Why is it taking 4 days? It's taking too long. You know, see, so time sometimes causes doubt to set in. It really does. Time can do a number on you and do a number on me. It really can. And so we must continue to declare what God has said. Now, I'm back to Psalm 37 this week. And the Psalm 37, I entitled the broadcast, Triumph in Travail. And what I mean by that is that even though the season of travail is very extreme, it's very extreme, pressing on the life of the believer that is very, very severe. It's very severe. But what we must do as believers when we're in the travail season is to triumph. You know, I said that word, I put that word up there for the broadcast. Try is a part of the word of triumph. Triumph. That means in travail, there are things that we are promised, and it's right here in Psalm 37. I did talk about those things as believers, as the righteous last week. But this week I said I was going to talk about the wicked. What has been promised for the wicked? The wicked, they have a judgment. They don't think they have a judgment. They don't think they have a judgment. They, in fact, they don't even believe there's a God. And I was reading something today, I believe it was on the radio, one of the radio shows on Black Talk Radio, and the name of the broadcast was Thank God. Thank God. I'm glad I'm an atheist or something like that. You see, so they don't believe there's a God. And if they believe there's a God, they hate God. They're God haters. They're atheists. But just because they do not embrace your God and do not embrace this word does not mean that God's word is not true. And sometimes when the time is extended, it will seem as though God's word is not true, even though it is true. It's coming to pass. It's going to be fulfilled. And God has made the promises so that we can dwell on those promises while we are waiting. Because that's one of the things, that's part of the protocol that we have to have as believers, waiting on God when we are attacked by the wicked, is to wait. You remember I read those last week. I'm looking in the Word right now. I'm looking right at verse 7 of Psalm 37 that says we are to rest. Oh, there it is. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. My goodness, that word patiently. That word patiently. You can't pray for patience, and I would not if I were you. It's just going to happen. It's going to be groomed in you after a while. And I have no clue what God's timetable is on about patience. I just know it will happen, and it will happen, and you will know that God has caused you to be a patient person. Amen. But what I want you to know, one thing that really jumped out at me as I was studying Psalm 37 this week was that the wicked will be cut off. That was repeated so many times in the psalm, and even if you go there and look at it, that's one of the prophetic declarations of Psalm 37, is that the wicked will be cut off. They will be cut off. And because the Lord said it so many times, I believe it's altogether true and imminent. And when we have a travail situation, let's start at verse 9, Psalm 37:9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And let's see, and verse 2, it says, for those blessed by him shall inherit the earth. That's the Lord. The him is capitalized there. Blessed by him. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. Cursed by Jesus. They are going to be cut off. They are going to be cast down and cut off. There's another verse. Psalm 37:28, and it says, for the Lord love justice. I do too. I love justice. Lord, let justice be loose in the earth. I release justice in the earth. You see, the wicked don't like justice. They like corruption. But the righteous love justice. And no reason to worry. God is going to restore justice in our justice system here on earth and here in America. And he says in Psalm 37:28, for the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. You see, that is the destiny of the righteous, his saints. But the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. Okay, now I've just seen a little distinction there in the two verses, especially from that of Psalm 37:9, is that the evildoers and the wicked themselves shall be cut off. But not only themselves, but their descendants shall be cut off, as is promised here in Psalm 37:28. It's a real promise. It's the real promise of God that these people, those people, those wicked people shall be cut off. It may not look like it. They may be standing tall. They may look like they're getting strong, but they shall be cut off. Now, in Psalm 37:34, it says, wait. Oh, my goodness. It said, wait again. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are going to be cut off, yes, and their descendants are going to be cut off, and the wicked, when they are cut off, you're going to see it. You're going to see it. And even the future of the wicked will be cut off. Amen. They ain't coming back. That's their final destiny. And that's found in Psalm 37:38. He said, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together, and the future of the wicked shall be cut off. So they're not coming back. They're going to be destroyed forever and ever and ever. And let me tell you another thing. The wicked, you can't be shy and be a believer. We kind of live in glass houses because the wicked has set themselves to watch us and plot against the righteous. And even in spite of that, we will prevail. I'm going to read a verse that I saw. Okay, Psalm 37, 32, the wicked to slay him. And the Lord would not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Excuse me. So, you know, we can't be shy. You get to a point now where you see electronically all of these gadgets and things that are now being created. They are created to watch and spy on people, especially the righteous. I remember just a few years ago, I remember the Lord giving me a prophetic word about how electronics were going to advance and that I was to keep up with electronic advancement because that is how we're going to survive in this age. I mean, people that don't have a computer now are kind of behind. People that don't have a cell phone, they don't have access to the same information that we have. But what the negative downside of that is that the wicked want to watch you. I was reading a story online the other day about webcams in your computer and how they... someone can be watching you, you not be aware of it. How someone can be watching you on Facebook and you not be aware of it. How about the story of this woman, Erin Andrews, where she's being watched in a hotel room? So those kinds of incidents, if we don't pray, saints of God, will increase our vulnerability to being watched. But the wicked are always plotting to watch us, to spy on us. And so in that watching and spying, we have to believe God to remain covered. We have to be under that veil where we cannot be detected. You know, there's a whole lot of things here in Psalm 37. But, I mean, we've already seen the declaration that we should wait on the Lord. We should wait on the Lord. We should rest in the Lord until God delivers us. And I know you're going to say easier said than done. Of course it is. But the bottom line is that it can and should and hopefully will be done by the believer, the righteous, the person that's seeking to overcome and triumph in travail. And guess what? I'm at the end of my program already. Started late, but that was not my fault. And so I thank you for listening to the program today. That is all I have to say for this particular broadcast. Thank you again for tuning in. You may go to the link at blogtalkradio.com/Brenda K. Sanders if you wish to listen to this episode. Again, you may do so. You may go to the show page and listen to this episode or any other episodes listed there on the show page. Please feel free to do so. You may communicate to me. You may send an email to me via seeingclearlyinthedark@gmail.com. And like I said, I always accept prayer requests, and I pray for any individuals that may email me and seek prayer. And so I thank you again for tuning in. Please tune in next week. I think I'm going to go a little further here in Psalm 37 to highlight what is the plight of the wicked. We know what we're going to be entitled to as believers, but what has God promised in terms of dealing with the wicked? Okay, thank you for tuning in to the broadcast again. Have a very blessed week.
But as he speaks, he must be sheep. To hear him when he calls, to see him when he comes again. Oh, in my spirit, yeah.
The glory is ever God.